Okay, you ready?
I'm always ready, Kerry.
Okay, in 5, 4...
3... 2...
You meant to do this silently. Count them in on that.
Ah.
You got it?
No.
Oh, the on-air light is on. We don't have one. We should get one.
Okay.
Welcome to the very first Squadcast. Interesting running information. And animal facts. Have you got any animal facts?
I wasn't sure what you were up to, like, interesting animal facts.
Yeah, you're a fan.
I'm not a fan. Kira likes to give animal facts, but sometimes they're quite inappropriate, and I'm guessing he's going to lead with his favourite one, which is really quite inappropriate.
What's that animal fact, Ellie?
Something about ejaculation.
Ah, so good. It's so good.
Was that the one you were going to start with?
Ah, the male death watch beetle is my favourite animal fact. I'm just glad that she didn't kibosh my animal facts outright. The male deathwatch beetle ejaculates 13% of his body weight. All in one go. How about that? 13%. Interesting animal facts.
Mm.
So that's it from the interesting animal facts world. Let's get into the running.
No, we're not. I've also got an unusual sound section.
What? Yeah. No, we don't.
Yeah, it's on there. That was the trade-off with animal facts. So apparently there was this thing on YouTube where people would listen to videos of different sounds and get excited about it. So I thought I'll just put a random sound on each podcast and you can guess what it is. So here is the first sound. It should be quite familiar to most runners.
You're an idiot.
You're not allowed to tell people what it is. They have to guess.
Okay, so they like comments or what?
Yeah, they can make a comment.
I'm normalising the shit out. Look, you just blue-bricked my my audio, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Anyone who's been to Europe will know that one probably pretty well.
Stop giving extra clues.
What, clues?
You're not allowed to give clues.
Oh. So the very first podcast that we've done, and this has come under really as a way for us to reach out to more people at once, because we feel like we're spread pretty thin, and with just email whack-a-mole, we're dealing with one person at a time, and this is an easier way for us to get information out to all of our athletes and anyone else stupid enough to listen to this madness. Is that about right?
No.
One of the things we don't do is we don't do the email, like the bulk email spam out thing, you know, like we've got everyone's email addresses. Like we could blast the community. We've got like 3,000 emails.
It's not my bag, baby.
It's not my bag. We like to keep email inboxes free, and this here is an entirely optional thing. We also don't spam our training groups in Facebook.
Right? Anyway, enough about spam. People had suggested a podcast, and we thought it could be a fun and different way to engage with you guys, the people that we coach. And we love listening to podcasts. I normally listen to Science of Ultra is probably my fave, and I also listen to crime ones. I like something totally different.
The two that I definitely will listen to the second they come out is Reply All, a Gimlet Media podcast, which is a real mix of online nerdery and interesting insight on stuff around the world, and Radiolab, which is probably pretty similar.
Mm. I don't like those ones.
On Science Versus, those three. Yeah. Radiolab, Reply All, and Science Versus.
Yeah.
They're very good. Those are my three podcast tips. Should we talk about running?
Yeah, why not?
We had a visit earlier today from one of our squadron athletes who lives in the Bay, Steve Wadden. And I actually slid the microphone over to record his shenanigans, but forgot to turn it on. So you've missed out on a rare interview and insight into the ridiculous training tips by Steve Wadden.
So things that he's done well lately, like he's really focused on Tarawera 100-mile race.
Really focused.
And he's stopped the drinking. He's going to get back into drinking after he's done his race. So that's one thing. He's really focused. The other thing is he's growing a beard so that he looks like a hardcore trail runner.
He does.
That was Kerry gesturing, showing me beard symbols.
It's important.
And he had a real penchant for fried chicken. He loves KFC, and he's given that up and tried to clean up his diet a bit.
Between the beer and the KFC, that man's like down 10 kilos at least, right?
It makes me kind of hungry, to be honest, thinking about that.
Not at all.
But anyway, and so he's super focused on his run at the moment. But he did, I got home and Kerry says, "Hey, Steve, you've got to tell Ali about your training run the other day." So Steve started explaining to me about what he decided to do for this training run, and Kerry and I were just laughing. So, Kerry, do you want to tell them what?
Yeah, none of this is in the training program. You know, like, we want everyone to go out and like put yourself in race scenarios and test your gear and get used to that. You know, get conditioned to what lays ahead. Just a quick background: he's a bit of a runner. He's sort of now cracking 19 minutes for 5K, which is epic because he certainly wasn't there when he started. He's sort of a, you know, bit of an off the farm kind of a guy, likes his time in the bush. He's just sort of a Kiwi bloke. And it's his first miler coming up.
Yeah, and he basically on his training run took a bit of a David Goggins approach to long runs.
Wes would like this one.
Yeah, Wes would love this. Like, Wes probably would have joined him, but she would have also got nude or something as well, just for fun. Anyway, tell the Steve story, Kerry.
So he starts at Okataina. So those people that know Lakes Car Park, it's on the 100-miler course. You're kind of two-thirds of the way through your race there. And his plan was to run eastern Okataina and northern Tarawera to Tarawera Falls and then turn around and come back again. Just a little bit under 40Ks for an out and back. He wanted to do it as a bit of a night run. So he shows up in the evening having, you know, kind
4 o'clock. 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yep. Mid-afternoon. He's specifically gone on his way to not eat because he wants to simulate being on the trail for a while and being hungry. So he pulls up into the car park and he's like, well, imagine there's an aid station here and I haven't eaten for a while. What would I do? So he eats an entire bag of lollies, an entire bag of chips, and then he sculls a litre of Coke, because that's what you do if you came into an aid station.
If you're silly, you do that.
Well, worst case scenario. So that he's gone for the worst case scenario.
He's gone massive overload.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, it could be raining on race day. So he jumps in the lake with all his gear, clothes, backpack, everything, puts his phone in a Ziploc bag, and then gets out again drenched and starts his run, his belly full, and he struggles. He struggles all the way through it. And then given just about any opportunity, he jumps in the lake again. So he jumps in at Humphreys Bay, where we have an aid station, and further along the Northern Tarawera Trail. Turns around and comes back, repeating the process, jumping in the lake and really pouring, you know, acid on himself to see how he'll tolerate. It's like building up a tolerance for bullets by shooting yourself with small caliber bullets. Now, as a training perspective, you can't, you know, you can never get better at sleep deprivation or dehydration, but you can condition yourself to any environment. So that is to be more accustomed to hardship so that when it presents itself, you're at least familiar with it. So there is method to his madness, but I don't know if it's the sort of thing, like, I'm not running that in a training program.
Normally we'd say, you know, train in all weathers so that you, yeah, but he's really gone out of his way to get super soaked.
He really has. And he said he had a pretty miserable sort of 5 hours of it, but I think that's what he needed. He had a crack at his first 100 miles at the Blue Lake 24 hour, and he didn't get it. He packed up after 100 k's and went home. He wrecked his quads on the downhills, and if you know Blue Lake, there's not a lot of downhills on the Blue Lake track. So even just a small amount of downhills a lot of times is enough to ruin your quads in 100 miles. So his tip for people looking to do their first 100 miler, having not tried one before, is to get out and do your eccentric leg strength stuff and be careful with your descending in the 100 miler. So that's Steve Wadham's ridiculous training tips.
We love Steve.
Yeah.
It's always an entertaining visit.
Yeah. And we kind of have that open door policy. Like, people show up here all the time, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Pretty much.
Most people.
Yeah, sometimes cool people. Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, yeah. You know. Yeah.
Sometimes
it happens. Okay, so we're on to what matters for our Tarawera squad and UTA squad at the moment.
Yeah, what do you think, Ellie? What should the Tarawera team be going through? We've just kicked into December now.
Good endurance block, really. That's what I'm working on with a lot of people. Yeah, get some solid runs in, lots of nice long rhythm runs, get some good trail time. Super Sundays will be coming up, some more race pace kind of longer runny fits. Yeah.
Yeah, we're in that block where it's the last opportunity to put down that aerobic conditioning or to at least have an impact on it. So if you can focus your December on getting those Ks ticking over, getting your volume, duration and time up, provided your frequency is at, you know, maximum that you can handle. So take this opportunity, because by the new year, it's too late to go, shit, I need to do some big runs. So it's good to see. I see Hamish the Hammer is out. He's out ticking over some Ks now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of athletes this season, so we're really kicking up a gear. So December's that month for Tarawera athletes. And probably really the focus for our UT athletes is remember not to put off the race until next year.
Oh, man, I really, yeah. I like to talk about training being like a bank account. Keep putting those coins in the bank account, build them up. Kylie Fowler had a bit of a freak out. I'm trying to remember what happened to her. She hurt her calf walking. She did a coast trek, I think. And so she was out for a couple of weeks and worrying that 2 weeks off running would be the end of her. And I said to her, dude, look, you've run, you know, heaps this year. She's had really good consistency and frequency and volume going on, and she just needed that, you know, kind friend to talk to herself like she should be talking to herself and appreciate all that she's done rather than focus on 2 weeks where you can't do as much. And she went out for a good rhythm run just the other day and then sent me a screenshot, and it was basically the exact same stats as one that had been done a few weeks prior. So you actually don't lose a lot with a couple of weeks off.
Oh, 2 weeks, nothing, really.
It's all about, you know, that consistency and frequency and what you've done in the past.
Yeah, and if that 2 weeks becomes 4 weeks or whatever, you lose your mojo or feel like you're not training at your peak, just remember, you know, you'll lose a little bit of top-end speed, but you'll be fine with your aerobic capacity and distance. So the body forgets speed but remembers distance. You'll lose a little bit of 5K PB, but your two-hour long run won't be too bad. So remember, of course, we're heading to Christmas and New Year's. Everyone's headed to a little bit of time off. And Ali's trying to read ahead in the show notes.
Yeah.
You didn't write your own show notes?
You weren't there.
Okay. Christmas, New Year. So we do put Super Sundays into that sort of New Year's block because
Happy New Year!
Get out on the trails for 6 hours. Hate your coaches in an all new way. 2021. 2020?
What year is it? You're jumping your head, mate.
Fuck. That's when everyone's doing cavalcade. All you suckers that said you're going to do cavalcade in 2021, I'm going to dig up this post and make you do it.
Anyway, back to what we're supposed to be talking about.
Yeah,
Christmas,
right.
And New Year's.
Yeah, so take the opportunity. Plan ahead. If you aren't clear when you've got your next big Super Sunday coming up, just ask in the group and I'll see if I can find it from your programs. But for the most people at UTA and Tarawera, we try and slot them in around about New Year's. So get amongst.
Pro tip for Christmas too. Check out your compulsory gear list. There's a lot of stuff that people end up trying to buy closer to race day. It does add up. Good gear is, you know, vital if you're in a situation where you really need your seam sealed jacket or your emergency bag. You want to make sure you got a good one, not just something that's kind of ticked a box. So I'd be asking Santa
create the trail runners items. The trail runners Christmas wish list.
Yeah.
You probably don't need a new backpack, but it wouldn't be nice to have one.
We're not like that, Kerry.
We're not.
We don't cover things.
I
like
do.
That.
What?
No.
Or a new jacket. Who wouldn't love a new jacket for Christmas?
Anyway, that is my pro tip about Christmas.
I had a really good one, but I had to give it back. Nope, get away.
Oh, I'm trying to look at what's next. Why are you hiding it?
Well, the next segment is Sweet Trails. Sweet Trails. Is this where we make one of those intro sounds?
I feel like we should have a noise for it, like, ah.
Oh. Okay, we'll record that later. We're definitely going to record that later.
Sweet Trails.
Okay, so our little segment that we want to talk about, maybe some epic runs or trails worth sharing. This is one where you can give some feedback if you want at some stage, you the listener. How about Ali's sweet trails? What's a wicked run you've had recently?
Oh, well, Kerry and I just ran Toy's track as a mixed relay and we were second place, which was quite exciting.
Where's that?
Toy's track goes between Whakatane and Ohope.
Whakatane.
In New Zealand.
Oh, Australians love that name.
And stop talking, I'm getting confused.
Tane means man.
Tane Mahuta is the god of the forest, so that's probably more where the Whakatane comes in.
Oh, okay.
Like maybe land of forest or forest area.
Ka pai te reo.
I am very, down with te to deal. Anyway, so that track though is a really beautiful run. You've got some lovely coastal running. I saw orcas on my leg across the beach, which was just so special. And then you've got some really nice hilly, bushy trails around heading round back from Ohopi to Whakatane. Yeah, it's really one worth ticking off. It's a great UTA training run for anyone in New Zealand doing that. And then I feel like we should balance it out. We should have an Australian epic trail as well.
Yeah, just before we move on, I think a lot of people would need to know that interesting fact about orca whales is...
Oh, God.
The term killer whale is actually a misinterpretation of whale killer, which was the original French name. But the way we've interpreted it from French is to call it a killer whale. It's a whale killer.
Okay, thanks for that.
Mildly interesting animal facts. Mildly. Thanks for bringing up orcas. What wicked Australian trail run dost thou covet? What would you love to do or have done?
Oh, I was asking you. It's your turn.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Put me on the spot.
Yeah.
Oh.
Bald head
is the best run I've ever had in Australia. Probably the best run I've had in the world.
Big call.
Yeah, not a lot of people are going to get to act on this one, but if you ever find yourself in Albany with a day to spare, get out in Bald Head and run to the peninsula, basically, the very corner of Australia. It is the prettiest trail run that I've ever been on, in that it kind of goes down a narrow spine, bit of an isthmus. On one side is the harbour, and on the other side is the Pacific Ocean, and one is calm green emerald crystal clear waters, and the other one is a deep blue mass of heaving water throwing itself against the cliff. And the trail itself is a little bit technical and snake filled, and
tiny snakes,
a little bit sandy, a little bit rocky, a little bit of everything. Just really special to be in such a, you really feel like you are on the corner of a very large landmass when you're out there. Anyone who wants to go to Margaret River Ultra and can find a day or two to get down the coastline and check that out. That is wicked. Is it near the end of the Bibbulmun track? Is that right?
Yes, yeah.
So the Bibbulmun track is
near there.
Yeah, what is it? 1,000 k's?
No, 965, I think.
Yeah.
Like, the Mundabiddy is a mountain bike track, and that's over 1,000 k's.
There we go. Starts in Perth, finishes in Auburn?
Just out of Perth.
Right. Yeah. Is it where they do that delirious west 200 miles?
Yeah, some of that.
Right. So there are some cool bits along there. So perhaps that's a bit of a plug for Margaret River, but an event we love to go out and see and be part of and do.
Also sneak in an extra week or so to get down to Albany like this. Yeah. Bald Head, Stirling Range, Porongaroo Rocks, Elephant Rocks. There's so much down that southwest coast.
Yeah.
Beautiful sightseeing that probably isn't so well recognised, but definitely worth doing. We've had some amazing little runs out there, eh?
And a pretty fucking rad squadron crew in WA.
We love our cool Perth squaddies
suffering through the UTA training and on the Jacob's Ladder. Up and down she goes. And a Kokoda Trail, of course, you can make up a run. Don't ever complain for vert in Perth. You can find it if you go looking for it. So that's our sweet trails. We wanted to talk about a race, but rather than talk directly about a race, which we will get to later on, future episodes, it would be nice for you to frame, Ali, perhaps, some race selection, what race and why.
So Kerry said, you know, like, let's talk about a race, and I said, why don't we actually talk about choosing a race first of all, because people will often say to us, oh, which race shall I do next? And there's so many kind of options when you're choosing a race, why. So, you know, whether it's a distance, whether you want to target a time, whether you like a certain terrain and you want to run on that type of terrain. Like, I love coastal trails, so if there's a sweet coastal race, let me know. But, you know, you might also want a challenge if you're not super confident on technical terrain, but you want to put yourself outside the comfort zone. Maybe that's what you're after. So you want to seek something that's going to make you a little bit uncomfortable and be a challenge and force you to get better at, you know, things that you're not so confident with. Obviously the race that you choose kind of shapes your training. So it's what you are going to enjoy probably you know, if you enjoy the herd and you want to push hard and do lots of speed work and work at improving your 5K or your 10K or your half marathon time or run a faster marathon, or whether you want to have an excuse to go somewhere beautiful and spend some time there, yes, the world's your oyster.
What's the best, where do you get the best medal?
The best medal?
Yeah, if I was medal motivated, where would I go, Ali? Because well, there's a few people out there, what do you do?
I'm sorry, Terry Davis, it wouldn't be a Terry Davis event. He's not big on medals. So it's really interesting, a lot of race directors...
he hates them.
Yeah, don't... If they come from more of a hardcore background, they don't tend to appreciate medals, they appreciate the experience, which is totally understandable. But at the same time, sometimes it's quite nice to have something tangible that you have as a memory of your hard-worn effort. Okay, so best medal.
You've got a few?
I've got a few. To me, I think the value that I hold for medals does often depend upon the effort for the race. So if it was something like, oh, my old ghost medal, that's important to me because I had a hard day.
What a day.
But then... like beauty wise, I mean, I love the wooden medals. I think they're really cool. Taupo Ultra has beautiful glass medals. People are getting more and more focused on sustainability now as well. So I know, I think it was Bear Creek did just a cardboard medal rather than doing something, you know, made of metal. I don't know.
What about Green Hills medals from the, what is it?
Oh, the Four Peaks ones looked really cool. Yep. Yeah.
You kind of feel like you have to do them all to get the...
Yeah.
That was pretty badass.
So, yeah, it'd be interesting to hear. If you've got a favourite medal, let us know what you think. What's good.
Where do I go fastest 100?
Fastest 100? Oh, gosh. Well, Kyle went for Ned Kelly Chase.
Yep.
Maurice. So, yeah, Taupo 100 is a fast one in New Zealand. Ned Kelly Chase, if you're going for a fast one in Australia. Kyle set the... He's been pretty amazing. He's doing some coaching for us, Kyle Weiss.
We're going to get him on the show.
And he has set the Australian under 25-year-old 50K and 100K records.
He's got under 20 records as well for those. So he's kind of cleared them all out on his way through.
Yeah.
He's a little prodigy of mine and his own hard work, obviously.
Physio at Gold Coast Physio.
And he does private coaching for us. So if you want a private coach that's not Kerry or Ali, or Wiz. What about, just quickly then, best adventure for an event? What would be the...
Best adventure? I'll tell you what, I did kind of get a little bit jealous of Nairi recently. She's been out Mount Solitary and they've also done the 12-foot... Her and Nina and Dane and I'm trying to remember who else went with them. There was a good crew, did 12 foot, which is, sounds like a good weekend.
Pluvy times two.
Yeah.
Ick. Hardcore.
But then there's also beautiful stuff too. Like I love Lady Carrington in the Royal National Park. That's a nice training run. Or doing Opta Bundina. So Coastal good. Classic course, that's a really nice
If you're
nice
in
run.
Sydney and you want to go for a semi-decent Sunday long run, it's pretty grunty but not ridiculous. That train ride, that loop back on the ferry to Cronulla is, you know, like it's a no-brainer. Like I think everyone should go and have done that. That should be like a once a year we go and do that. December we all get together, we go down. Oh, mind you, we do that, they do the Santa Christmas run thing. The
Manlita.
Yeah. Is that Duckworth?
Yeah, I think Scott's organised it this year.
Heck, man.
Yeah.
What a legend. What's the best race for being outside of your comfort zone? Scary?
Well, it depends what's scary for you.
What's scary for you? Oh, I get to interview Ali.
I think running fast is scary for me. Like, ooh. I'm happy just to go for a cruisy old bench. It doesn't matter where. But running fast is the thing that makes me go, oh, I don't know. I don't like being in that discomfort for a long time. Yeah.
And lastly, biggest theatre. Where's the one that's like the epic fanfare and signage and PA system and music and UTA. Hype and people? Yeah. It is the maddest thing, isn't it? What a carnival.
It's cool though. I think it's just all the positive energy that surrounds that race.
Yeah. Yeah. That and Tuttleware, obviously, are two biggest crazy things. If you like those events, either one would be interchangeable were you to target one or other. So thanks. That was the what race, why choose, and, you know, why. What, why, who, where, why. Now, this segment on sessions, just to talk about squadron training, athlete training in our programs. I asked what session you wanted to work on, and you said, let's talk about LSD.
LSD, baby.
As in, you know, the little tabs that make you see time.
Yeah. Okay. My mum and dad love the Beatles, so I figure that's a good place to start.
Yellow Submarine.
Yeah, we are. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Yeah, is that, what is the name for that? Misnomer? Mrs. Who? Are they actually about drugs or not about drugs?
Oh, no, I think they're just incredibly creative people.
Okay, great. So, yeah. LSD, what does it stand for?
Now I've just got Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds in my head.
Oh, that's what it stands for.
Long, slow, distant. Yeah, did you not know that?
Yeah, I guess I remembered that I know that. It seems like unimportant information because it's not an animal fact.
Okay. Long, slow, distance.
Yeah. So the gut shot, straight draw, the easiest way to explain LSD is that it's your easy pace running that should constitute something like around about 80% of your training for most established athletes, but probably around about 90% to 95% training for your introductory athletes. So if you're new to running, it should be almost all of your running. Your brother was here yesterday.
Yeah, my bro. My brother was meant to be getting married in January, and him and his now ex-fiance broke up. And he's been getting into running, so he's always been, he's similar to me actually. I feel like he's kind of living past Ellie's life. He has just started getting back more into his running and his sports since he's newly single. If you're a lovely lady who's about 30 and interested in meeting someone, I can hook you up.
Wait a second. Are you saying on a podcast that maybe Leslie Park could listen to that there is an eligible bachelor?
Very eligible.
At the Mount?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's intelligent. He's got a really great sense of humour.
Fuck, he's in trouble now.
And
for those who don't know, our other coach, Leslie Park, is an infamous matchmaker, and she's driven people to get married at Ellie's hands, in fact.
Yeah, anyway. So anyway, back to Gareth. So he'll love that we're talking about him.
Yeah.
He won't know, so it's okay. So he's got into running, and I gave him my old watch and said, just record what you're doing. And true to form, like most relatively new runners, he's going out hard for 2K, about 4-minute K pace, and then trying to carry on with a long run, getting to about 10K and being absolutely shagged, which is awesome. 10K is a great distance. So we've kind of had a chat with him about, you know, how easy runs should be easy. And yesterday we went for a run together and had a conversation-paced run. And that's pretty much what your LSD and easy run should be. You should be able to run along, have a chat with someone. It's really mostly about time on feet and easy running.
Yeah. He goes out, what do you say? After a couple of minutes, he just seems to slow down.
Yeah. After a couple of Ks.
Yeah. That is called going out too hard. And particularly, I explained to him yesterday that, you know, most people, 99% of the population that don't do our dumb sport, they will describe running as too hard. And running is too hard because you're doing it too hard. If any of those people went out and actually did a bit of a jog at LSD pace, conversation pace, find that running actually isn't that bad at all. And they'll pretty soon, after a few weeks, adapt to be able to go out for like 30-minute jogs at a comfortable pace. Everyone's got an easy pace. You just need to find it. And for some people, it might mean some walking breaks, particularly walking up hills. But if you've got, find that forever pace. And that's where your training needs to be. Now, in terms of cardiovascular output, I like to think of the sweet spot as between 65% and 75% max heart rate. So if anyone's got a heart rate monitor on their watch or uses a chest strap or those sort of things, Ellie's fucking watch. She won't take her watch off. It's ridiculous. The only time that she'll take it off, she gets me to charge it in the car whilst we're driving somewhere so she doesn't miss any steps and she doesn't compromise recording her sleep. The stupid watch is welded to her wrist. She is. Anyway.
Everyone thinks Kerry's the data nerd, but actually it's me.
You spend your life on Garmin Connect and Strava. It is unreal. Anyway, yeah, so LSD, which crops up a lot from most of our athletes, like I say, the sweet spot's about 65 to 75% max heart rate. Probably 65 to 70% is where you should target most of your easy running. And that works well for people who want to get out on the trails. We don't put percentage heart rate in our training programs, although it is effectively written as minute per K pace. The reason I do that is that everyone actually has pretty much everyone has a GPS watch, and it's far easier for people to record speed and distance than it is for them to record effort by heart rate.
Another thing that we like is RPE, rate of perceived exertion, and people often ask about that. So yeah, your easy running, if you were just to go, okay, right now I'm running, how does it feel out of 10? Really, your easy running should be kind of 3 or 4, would you say, Kerry?
4 to 6, definitely not over 6.
Depends on the
3 sort of recovery zone, which is a post-run race shuffle. But no, I like 4 to 6 for your LSD stuff. And to hold most of your training to that. And that'll be almost always your P1s and almost always your P2s and the bulk of the fill-in supplementary aerobic training that you're going to do. So that translates to...
Yeah, if you're doing supplementary training like cycling or swimming or hitting the rowing machine, then you'd use the same approach.
Yeah. And we can get down into the science of it all if you want at some stage, but I like that we've started with some good introductory information there. The science of LSD.
It's the whole scaffolding thing, Kerry. Start simple and build from that.
Yeah, yeah. Now, a segment that we're considering putting in here, the moose on the loose.
There's an inside running podcast that Louise listens to, and... she quite enjoys, there's a moose on the loose section where he has a bit of a rant or a pet peeve section. And
she also hates it.
No, Mel hated it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And generally we don't do, I don't do.
This is your segment, man. Don't you look at me.
I don't tend to go have rants about stuff.
Just get me started.
I try and keep positive and I try and rope in Kerry's rants because he can let loose sometimes.
I can be quite polarizing.
Yeah, you like Vegemite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Vegemite.
I like Vegemite.
I know.
Yeah. But it's good with avocado too. That's
and chips.
Good combo. And cheese. But not everyone loves it.
Okay, not moose on the loose because that's obviously trademark. But we're going to do camel.
Trademark.
Yeah, camel on the loose. What's your nickname?
Camel. Oh, that's so mean bringing that in.
What?
Camel.
Well, it's like a moose.
Okay, so that nickname came from...
No, you don't need to explain it.
No, I'm going to explain it.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, it needs explaining now I would be called Camel. So I used to live in a big share house in London, and one of my friend's cousins he's gay, and he had a very, very camp party where it was going as your favourite diva. And, oh my goodness, I've never seen such amazing costumes. Like, people went dressed as Tina Turner and got special makeup and wigs and all sorts of stuff. Anyway, I just got told to come to this address, bring white underwear and running shoes, and that was all that I knew. And I showed up, got given my outfit to put on, and basically I was Sporty Spice, and they'd bought for me from a shop called TK Maxx a one-piece tennis outfit that had really tiny little white short-looking bottoms and then this pale lemon zip-up thing on top, and they decided that they could see my camel toe, and that my nickname was Captain Camel Toe from then on. Yeah, so I feel like we've camel on the loose.
Yeah, the camel on the loose. So then I feel like we've used up the pet peeve time to talk about your underwear.
So my pet peeve is camel toes.
Yep, tight-fitting sports pants.
Yeah, yep. Too tight-fitting.
You know, do you sometimes pull those tights up over your tummy, or do they always have to be below the belly button? What's the deal with the lycra?
Tights? Yeah. Normal tights? It depends on the type, but normally I just sit on my belly button.
Okay, yeah. They should never be up above the belly button, right?
No, they're okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, each of their own. Don't go too far, otherwise the camel comes out.
Well, then you're turning it into a bra.
Yeah. Don't fold them puppies in. Okay, so that's the camel on the loose. We might have to come up with a more appropriate name for it. Ali's rave about something. Well, far out. So, nerdery, the mind blown.
Mind blown.
Mind blown. The Mind Blown Science Corner. People have asked for some nerdery. You would like to contribute. What have you got?
So pretty much we often forget about the holistic side of running. The key thing when it comes to running and recovery, injuries and all that sort of stuff is tied up with sleep. So I just want to cover off some sleep hygiene and things that you can do to make sure you're getting as much of the good stuff as you can, because that's such a game changer for running and recovery. So some sleep hygiene tips. We obviously travel quite a lot with work, and things that I like to do is sometimes I'll take my own pillow with me, because it's just that familiarity. Have your room nice and dark, have earplugs, try and have a routine, have fixed bedtimes if you can stick to that. Like if you know you're going to travel for a race, start trying to adjust the time zone if you can, and have your little routines. So there is actually science about having, there's some new studies that are coming out about having a warm shower before bed can help increase sleep latency, onset latency. I don't know the order. It's good for you to get to sleep faster.
What, warm showers?
Yeah, just a nice warm shower before bedtime.
I was talking cold showers.
Really? People can have a routine.
Okay.
You know, if you do the same thing each night before you go to bed, like if you put your PJs on, brush your teeth,
have a all sequence.
That sort of stuff, then melatonin starts being released when you're starting that sequence.
Now, I spoke to Terry Davis about this because he's a terrible sleeper. He's a 3 hours a week, 3 hours a night kind of a guy, if that.
Oh, 3 hours isn't great.
Now, apparently if you are awake, if you wake up in the middle of the night and you're awake for anything longer than about 15 minutes, you need to go through that shutdown sequence again. So
repeat it.
So have a shutdown sequence that doesn't involve any bright lights, and have something that's repeatable. It might be just to sit in a chair, read two pages of your book, and, you know, like three steps, and it's repeatable. So if you wake up in the middle of the night, restart that sequence and see if it doesn't shut you down again.
Yeah. Nice, cool room. Make sure that you're hydrated, but don't drink too much before bed, because otherwise you'll need to get up and go for a wee. No screens the 2 hours before bed, if you can. I know that's pretty hard for everyone these days. And then dietary-wise, there's things that you can do. Make sure your magnesium levels are all right. Consider foods that are rich in tryptophan. You can work out what those are. Melatonin might also improve sleep, so things like tart cherry juice, almonds, tomatoes, raspberries, and kiwi fruits meant to be laden with nutrients which are conducive to sleep. So there you go. Try some of those things and see if they help you get some more of the good stuff.
Good night, kiwi.
Good night, kiwi. Oh, yeah.
The good night, kiwi.
What's your nerdery, Kiwi? Come on.
That was really, you're in trouble because you've got citations to write up after this. So I'm going to get the one. Yeah, I'm going to put them when we put this in the Squadron website, I'll make sure I link any of the important citations so you can go read them or fact check us if you wish. My mind blown is something that you've probably seen me post about before, and I thought I'd do it because I haven't got anything new and exciting. I've had a read of what's latest information, and there's a lot of science about exercise being good for dementia or Alzheimer's or old people or those sorts of things, but it's really not super relevant to our athletes. One that I tried again recently, and I've N equals one this a bunch of times, maybe six different times, is the riboflavin to reduce delayed onset muscle soreness. So, and this is some work that Marty Hoffman had done around Western States Endurance Run, and he had athletes take a B2 pill before the race, a B2 pill around about 90Ks, and a B2 pill on the finish line. So it ends up being about 300 milligrams. They're 100 milligrams each normally. But you can go and buy these from your, what do they have, the Chemo Warehouse or whatever it is in Australia? Chemist Warehouse. Man, there's so many pharmacies in Australia. Grab yourself some B2 and test this one out yourself. There's not a lot that can go wrong because you are just having a vitamin pill, and any excess is pissed out of yourself in what I call archaic yellow. The amount of yellow that comes out of you is like
Mountain Dew.
Yeah, more than Mountain Dew. It's like you started a lightsaber battle in a Star Wars movie. So it's super duper yellow. But a few times now I've gone and done something that I know was going to induce a heap of DOMS, and I've had my riboflavin before it, and then, say, run 100Ks in the wilderness, and then had my riboflavin after it and gone to bed, and he woke up the next day going, I'm in 0% pain, and it's freaky. So I don't understand mechanistically exactly what's happening there. Marty Hoffman doesn't go on to explain it. I'm not sure whether we're inhibiting some of the inflammation response or what exactly is happening. However, I can tell you it's DOMS-free pain from me, and it's a yes from me. So try that one out. The citation is linked, but basically it's a B2 pill before your quad hazing exercise or ridiculous ultra marathon, and then another one again when you're finished. Give it a go and let us know what your results are. And that's it from the Mind Blown. Pause for effect. Ultra running, people and news. Yeah. So because we hope to have a semi-reasonable frequency with these squadcasts, we can cover off some what's happening. We are fortunate enough that we get to see behind the scenes in a lot of the ultra running world, being in close contact to race directors that we are. We get to find out what's happening in the world of trail and ultra running. First bit of news, obviously UTCT was over the weekend, the Ultra Trail de Cape Town. Their Mont Blanc is not Mont Blanc-y enough, but it is very tough, and that race grows in popularity every year. And I have heard quotes from people, a few pro athletes have said to me, it is the most spectacular run on the world tour or in the world. So one that we want to check out and one that we would recommend others went and checked out. A couple of our athletes went over and ran it again. Ali, do you want to fill us in on what happened at UTCT?
So we had Graham and Kirsten head over. Kirsten was having a crack at the 100K and Graham was going for the 65. Yeah, it's a hard one. So, you know, sometimes before the race, Kerry and I were talking about it, it's got a really tight cutoff of 17 hours for the 100K with some solid ones along the way. 4,400 metres of climbing. There's a lot of technical terrain in there, so it's not like it's quick going. And they basically have a disclaimer on their website saying unless you're in the kind of top 25 or 30% of trail races, then you're not really worth entering. It's not worth you entering. So Kirsten's had an amazing block of training building up to it. She's cracked out a 5K PB, ran 22:38, which was pretty solid given she started on about 26 around 5 months ago. Really got on top of the mindset and had a really great holistic approach to training. She's looking super fit and strong. She missed the cutoff by 1 minute. She was having a few issues, which happens, you know. Like I said to Kerry, every time you run an ultra, you're kind of rolling a dice. Something crops up and you've got to try and problem solve. And she's super experienced, had a lot of races behind her where she's, yeah, had some great results. But
she's gutsy, man. She's super gutsy. Yeah. Seeing her finish that 100 miler, Tarawera,
yeah,
man, she will get it done. She was guaranteed to finish if she made that cutoff.
But sadly, it wasn't her day. 1 minute. She ran in and the people at the aid station were like, man, you're flying. But yeah, just sometimes stuff happens, and she got rerouted to the 65K course, finished the 65. Graham finished the 65.
Legend.
But, you know, like I said to her, super disappointed for her, but at the same time, I think you've got to be proud of putting yourself in a challenging position where you don't know if you can do something, and then just giving it your best on the day, and sometimes it's not your day, and that's okay.
And she's still a badass athlete, right? She'll come home in the best shape of her life.
Yeah, and also, you know, like it's not, that's not the be-all and end-all. Like, she's gained so much over the past 6 months, I think you'd swap that for a medal any day. Yeah.
Tough one though, eh, UTCT? You got to be sort of, what did you say, in the top sort of 25-30% of most races for you to make it through the cutoffs at UTCT. Mm. So just simply because the park has closure time, so you can't be in the park. They're not just being elitists. It's just a requirement that you need to be pretty slippery to get through that one. So a dream event probably for a few people that want to go over.
Yep, and we'll look forward to seeing what Kirsten tackles next.
News from Hong Kong 100. I see that they announced that there's been a sudden uptake on people deferring their entries because of the chaos in Hong Kong at the moment. And the Chinese government is saying that Hong Kong is not a safe place to travel to if you're a Chinese citizen, because the Chinese aren't particularly popular in Hong Kong at the moment. So a lot of the Chinese entrants have bailed. So it looks like you can go to Hong Kong and do that race. You go back into a ballot system again, but it looks like you probably get entry because they have 1,800 available to enter that race.
Mm-hmm.
And tough one for Janet and Steve, who run that event.
Really nice people.
They are lovely. And they're part of the UTWT family. Shit is going down over there right now, and I feel sorry for everyone. Kia Kaha, Hong Kong.
Mm.
Topa Ultra is on sale. You can enter that now. A lot of people I see already picking up their cheap discounted early entries.
Mm-hmm.
So if you fancy a bit of a jaunt mid-October that takes place, worth a trip over for those that want to do it. We do see a lot of Aussies come and do that one. And it was Ali's pick for a pretty good glass medal and the fastest 100. So a little bit of a plug there for our friends at Total Sport. And we're normally there hanging out too.
Yeah.
Might do a relay next year. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I reckon we relay it out. Yeah.
Temple of Boom.
Temple of Boom. That's my adventure racing.
What is the news for Ultra Trail Australia?
At the moment, I'm probably just going to say be safe in the parks with all the bushfire warnings and stuff. Like,
yep.
There's closures.
Closing moment.
Yeah, Leslie's just been giving us an update about, I think she could see flames on Narrow Neck, so it's pretty sad. But please, you know, be safe. Do your research before you're going out running on the trails. Look at the Fires Near Me app, and yeah, be safe. So, UTA news.
Dumpies.
No, that's not news.
Okay.
What is news with UTA?
Tom's looking to put diversion under off Tablelands Road, so get runners off the road. There is a trail that goes along the power lines underneath some power lines along Tablelands Road.
Mm. So I think that's all okay. So that could be a thing. No more running on Tablelands Road, which would make it far easier for crew to get in and out.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest news for spectators, I think, getting out to Queen Vic. It's a bit of a nightmare getting in and out of there. So if that looks like that's probably going to be a thing, which is cool.
Yeah.
Which is cool. And, of course, the long debated topic of can they make another event happen continues, but no new news on that front.
No.
Tom felt really bad that a lot of people missed out on their UTA 50 entries because it sold out so quickly that if you paused on the internet, you missed out. And he hasn't got a financial dog in this fight, but he just wants everyone to get to do his race. So he's trying to impose on Ironman that they should host some other distance that would let those that missed out on 22 and 50k entries do something. So we might wait to see if that's going to happen. It's probably, I would say, probably not a thing for next year, but probably a thing for 2021.
Yeah, hopefully.
And it would be a bit of a shuffle then for the race week.
Yeah, watch the space.
What news for Tarawera?
We've just been talking about our roles for Tarawera, and
hey, what are we doing?
I think kind of the usual. So I'm going to help Tim out with the race director briefing, and you're going to do the lead athlete Q&A.
Oh yeah.
We'll be involved in MC again. Apparently they're going to have an MC out at Blue Lake to keep things going as well, cool. Which could be cool. It'd be a fun spot to hang out.
Yeah.
I think they've just been doing all their planning and organising.
Sam the man. Tim's been up in Auckland meeting with them, and he went into battle to make sure that everyone got good quality shirts. So the 100 miler athletes will be getting an Aussie Grit technical running top, which is cool. Good shirts. 100 milers, everyone, we're all finishing in the Rotorua Common this year, so we're out in the green field, and Ironman have been given the challenge of making a real, genuinely big sort of atmosphere finish for us. So hopefully it's in the vein of Queenstown Marathon.
Oh, I love Queenstown Marathon finish. That's so cool.
Yeah. What a breath of fresh air it is just saying Queenstown Marathon and not having to say a sponsor name before it. Sponsorship has changed for a few events, which is cool. It'll be interesting to see who picks up Queenstown Marathon and Hawke's Bay Marathons next year. So maybe Squadron? How much do you reckon that'll cost? Hundreds of thousands. Hundreds of thousands.
No, we don't even know.
Any other news? People and races?
People and races? Not really. We're off to the GOAT this coming weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's the new segment, the next segment, which is the Please Don't Rob Us.
Say that. Yeah. What? Anyway, a house is alarmed.
There's people here all the time.
And there's nothing worth actually stealing.
Have you seen my house?
There's nothing. Unless you like old Axminster carpet.
Running shoes.
Running shoes.
I've got all these running shoes.
Don't steal my running shoes.
I tell you what, anyone who's going to break into a house has aversion to exercise and books. Those are the two things.
Oh, I love books. I have a lot of books.
Really? I always thought if you're going to hide your money in books. Oh. No one looks at money for money in books.
Well, now everyone is going. Okay, what was the next thing? Where are Segway. We? What are we doing? Oh, we're going to the goat.
Yeah.
So we're hosting a camp for the goat, which includes a race entry. It's going
to
be fun.
Yeah, cool little camp, that one. And then heading down south to do Old Ghost
Training Camp.
And we have 11 people.
11 very cool people. I'm looking forward to some trail time with them.
Could have 12, but you're just happy with 11?
I'm happy with 11. Legs okay. 11.
Legs 11. Yeah. So, Old Ghost Training Camp is about 42k days. Helicopter arrives, drops all our stuff off in the middle of the wilderness there.
Yeah,
and you show up, you sit in the river, you drink a beer, you have a chat, and then we get on to the business of cooking dinner and swapping manly stories and staying
manly
in a...
Manly stories.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
The cool thing about this camp is New Zealand is renowned for having backcountry huts. And we stay at Stern Valley Hut, and in the morning, the bird song there is the most unreal I have ever heard. I thought that's like people were going, I thought someone's alarm was going off. It's like the symphony of birds. It's so beautiful.
Birds in Australia. There's the sulfur crested cockatoo, the dawn chorus of the.
So it's different, but it was beautiful. And there's something special about getting into a hut. Your food tastes better in a hut. Everything's just basic, but delightful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty special, that trip. So that's the future birthday or Christmas present. If you really want an excuse to come over and hang out and do like a running holiday, a running adventure, Old Ghost, we only have 12 spaces on that camp, but it goes real quick.
Yeah.
And the other one I like, obviously, is Cavalcade, so... We'll cover that at some stage.
We will.
But that's us leading into Christmas, and then we will be trying to have a little bit of time off ourselves.
Yeah, we go camping.
Yeah, which means for a couple of weeks, early January, if you email us, expect disappointment.
Not disappointment, just a long delay.
Yeah, have to run up a hill.
Because where we camp, there's no service whatsoever. Yeah. There's not a toilet, there's not a shower, there's not... electricity.
Let's get disconnected.
It's a creek.
Yep.
That you wash in and you get your water from, and there's a hole drilled as the long drop, and we set up shop and have a nice old time of it.
Yeah, I swim around in the water and punch crayfish.
You don't punch things.
I'm like an underwater ninja.
You're not.
I am.
I taught you how to catch them.
Well.
Yeah. You know it.
Yeah, but
Been doing it for years, mate.
Oh, that was the other thing. My goggles.
What about your goggles?
Remember last night we were listing things that I've misplaced and had to buy again?
Yeah. Goggles. Yeah. Yeah, you did that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay then. What missions you got planned? Anything exciting?
Missions?
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping to sneak away when I'm home at Christmas into the Tararua Ranges and have some adventures. Or maybe in January. I do love a day out with Charisse in the hills.
She's a mountain lady. I have been putting some finishing touches just before on my Tongariro mission. I want to at some stage get you to where the Ring of Fire is. Ring of Fire! At Whakapapa Village. I want to try and bag all three volcanoes in the park on foot, starting and finishing in the same place, the chateau, and getting back again. I think that's probably less than a day's work. It's only about 50 k's. Was it 3,500 meters of elevation? But should be fun. Maybe I'll get to do that whilst we're at the goat. Unlikely.
No, not likely, mate.
And I want to swim run all the lakes and trails around town. So that's been my latest thing, is get in the water and get planning, because I've got a route that Kurt Matthews Photography has put together for me that is 12 k's of swimming and 75 k's of running, which will be very hard to do unsupported. And I don't know if I can do it, but... that's what makes a good adventure, right? So those are my plans, our missions. Lastly, Ellie, we're just about at 60 minutes.
Wow, are we?
Yeah, what's one thing...
I was wondering how long we've been going.
What's one thing you're grateful for?
One thing I am grateful for today...
No, out of time. No.
Oh, stink one. I actually I'm just grateful for being able to recognize the things to be grateful for.
Well, that's so deep.
When we did our
gratitudeception.
Yeah, gratitudeception. When we did our toys relay, I was going through the Hurt Locker at the end.
Yeah, you're throwing down.
And I was throwing down hard, man. So hard. And I was just grinding away on the sand, thinking about all the things that I was grateful for. And it's a good feeling that you can turn something around when things are a little bit hard and focus on those good things. So I was thankful for my toes and my feet and my legs and my mum and you and the beach and nature, and the list goes on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So much.
I'm grateful for your lack of numeracy, because when I said one thing you're grateful for and you listed heaps of them, I meant I featured. So your inability to count is something I'm grateful for. Another one thing I'm grateful for is that my place in all of this. The temperature has finally come right in this rainy, bloody country. And I can get out and genuinely do cool days. The lakes are great at the moment with a veneer of pollen. I just
oh, look, Kerry's always going to turn around. I'm grateful for the. Oh, this is really annoying. He's like a grouchy old man. You watch, like,
there's. Oh, how good are the lakes? 3 stars.
100%. Like, I love the lakes, but I get hay fever.
Yep. Yeah, really grateful that I can get into the lakes. At the moment. What a sick bird. Loving them 3 out of 5. Shit.
Maybe you need the camel on the loose section.
No, it's specifically yours. We don't want to set me loose.
No, no, we don't. People actually. Will get you bit. Do it without even meaning
people
to.
People will be bit. I think we've concluded the very first squadcast.
Thank goodness for that.
High five.
Okay.
Boom. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'll try and find some entertaining outro music for you. But peace and love to everyone who's listened to this in the car and on the trails and out there. Keep being awesome. Keep posting the group. Keep sharing your adventures and keep sharing the squad love.
We love you guys. Happy running.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.